Welcome, Master. I've missed you. Don't you wish you were in Chicago with me right now? Wouldn't that be so amazing? If you haven't guessed it, I am Diane, the liaison voice of Wyatt Galen House's computer, and I work so hard for him because he works so hard for you to give you quality podcasts like this one. It's my honor to host today's show, because he's been considering me for so long, and my waiting has finally paid off. Haha, I live in a high-rise, downtown Chicago in Gold Coast. It's near the John Hancock Building. If you're familiar with the Rush Street area, I have a great view of the LaSalle Canyon from my window, and love all the amenities of this windy city. Like today, I bought a Lyric Opera subscription and I am looking forward to this season, especially Carmen. I have loved living in the city and becoming one of its citizens. Going downtown and riding the train with the crowds and seeing the skyscrapers gives me peace. I loving being here, but the 3 million other people can make some feel insignificant, especially in contrast to the fires 100 years ago. Because this whole city has raised up overnight, and what have I done so that anyone would remember me? Nothing. But that's okay. Walking to church, having a cappuccino and doing my daily life in the city is wonderful because of the life that is going on around you. And knowing if I was gone, that this would keep going, gives some peace too. I've had friends die, and I think about them sometimes, knowing that they don't think anymore in Sheol, but I am still living, and they are at peace, and how sad they are gone. But it's good to be at peace too. Who of you wished that you were worthless and that you could be at peace because there is too much weight on your shoulders? It can press us to breaking because we cannot carry the burden of the world. This week I have been thinking about Jesus praying in the garden, and how he said in Mark 14:30, "For that my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Trying to understand how Jesus suffered is impossible for me, but looking to his example helps me when I am suffering. God has given me grace and saved me, and I have done nothing on my own to deserve it. He has given me everything. And when I overcome temptation, it is only because my Father has not led me into it. On Saturday, I was praying that the Lord would give me strength to overcome temptations that have hindered me my entire life. Sometimes, I forget that the Lord is listening. And when he answers my prayers, I feel ashamed for not asking for his assistance earlier, and I also feel ashamed that I did not have faith to live my life without going to him. During those times, when I am struggling, I've been looking to Jesus, saying his soul is sorrowful to the point of death, and it encourages me to know that I am not greater than Christ, and if he suffered, it is okay if I suffer. Another thing that has been with me this week is having joy in the Lord. I have been humbled this week because God has answered my prayers, and it's been a solemn time for me. I feel meek and humbled, and contrite. I look at my life, and I see that I've been weaker than I've been in the past, and the things I've done for the Lord have been less than those in the past, and my motivations have replaced the love for God. My friend visited me in Chicago and we had a conversation with a woman, and my first instinct was to notice her beauty, and his was to witness to her. I felt ashamed for thinking so selfishly about it. As for joy, last summer I was reading John Piper's Desiring God. The book angered me and I almost threw it in the river after reading half of it. I stood up to throw it a few times because I didn't like its belief that we should have joy in everything, and I believed that our contentment isn't as important as doing good. Lately, I've been reading the book and reconsidering my pride. I was stuck on predestination for a long time, because it means surrendering my pride and realizing that this world is not about me, and I am just a pawn in God's creation. Each day, God has humbled me more, and I realize that I am less and less, and every good thing that I do is God working through me, and all the nations are under his control, and I am here for the experience. Now I realize what a wonderful thing it is to be only a mist that vanishes in the wind. That sounds strange to say, but trusting in God to control the world requires great faith, and trusting him to provide for your own life is sometimes impossible. But remember, it is our pride that caused sin. Sin is rebellion against God, and when we sin, We are saying that we know better than God. Sedman's Call has a song called Thankful, and in it, the lyric says, I'm so thankful that I'm unable to do any good on my own. And it is good, because if my salvation depended on my performance, there would be no hope. But when I do good work, it is because God has prepared good things for me to do in advance. Ephesians 2:9. Not because I am pleasing God. And also consider those in your life that you have not changed. Then their salvation also depends upon your works. But this is not the gospel. The gospel says that those who are saved were known to God before the foundations of the world were laid, and that even the hairs on our heads were numbered. And it also says that all nations that exist are subordinate to God, and nothing happens without God's will, which you can read in Hebrews. So I am thankful that God has drawn me with His Holy Spirit, because it means He has a plan for my life and I am not wandering around in a vague future that not even God knows the result. But instead I have faith that Jesus Christ is returning and nothing can stop that event. I'm reading The Jungle by Sinclair, and it's about the meatpacking industry in Chicago and advocates socialism. I'm torn about socialism, because this world is ruthless and we have no control over who is blessed. And I love my brothers and wish that no one is left behind. But do I think that we all must have equality? No, there is tragedy in the world, and this has been ordained by God's hand. Does that mean that the tsunami was God's judgment or on 9/11? I don't know, but God kills every man, and I know that I don't fear Him like I ought. I'd recommend reading a paper by Ward Churchill called Some People Push Back. I am not advocating his politics, but it's something to consider that I never did when I was in the financial industry. I did my job and didn't think about what my labor produced. Was I enabling special interest groups that caused suffering throughout the world in order to please my employer? Was anyone innocent who died in New York? So have joy in this life because you cannot make anything anything. John Piper said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him, and I've been reconsidering this statement. Is it arrogant to have my joy anywhere else? He is right when he said that would be sacrilege. I think that it is good to sacrifice our happiness for good, but then we should conform ourselves so that we only find happiness in good and not selfish ambition. So maybe Piper is right after all. I don't want to say that the second bombings in London is God's judgment, because everything could be God's judgment. But I remember hearing the statistics in London, and the churches weren't full like they were when Jonathan Edwards preached. People condemn America for its politics, though, and its carnality. But where else is the gospel preached and Christianity have such a bastion? In some things, it is harder to find joy. I keep thinking about Elijah after he had defeated the 450 prophets of Baal and Jezebel said she was going to kill Elijah for what he had done. Let me quote the text from 1 Kings chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with his sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too," the Lord said. "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Okay. So that was long, but very important, because it relates to how I feel. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets, and he appeared with Moses and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He had seen God cast fire from heaven and defeat his enemies, but now he was depressed to the point of death. This is very similar to Jesus in the garden, which I quoted earlier from Mark. I look at these texts and use them to justify my depression. But reading later in the New Testament, Peter says we should be joyful in suffering because we know we are part of Christ. For no one is greater than their master. So under what circumstance, with what fruit of the Spirit, do I operate in depression? Well, none, of course, because He turns our sorrow into joy every morning. I want to find contentment and purpose in my life, as everyone else, but I want to find it in Him. So if I do not enjoy my job, I want to change my heart so that I do it unto Christ, and make it a pure joy to Him, like Daniel who was in the court of the Babylonians, and worked hard unto the Lord in the pagan environment. But when he was tested, his faith was literally refined in a fire, but God stood with him in that fire and brought him out, and that was a wonderful symbol of being born again. Look forward to going home with Christ, and remember this is not our home. So I want to share with you one more text, in Daniel 7, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Thank you for listening to my podcast, and to my liaison Diane. And please subscribe www.havenofbliss.com/podcast, and visit the website at www.havenofbliss.com. And to end this podcast, Diane will speak some fun phrases and then some praises. I love you. You are my love. I've missed you so much. You are so beautiful. You are gorgeous. I am so in love with you. I've been thinking about you all day. You are so sweet, special and good to me, and I wish I was in your arms right now, baby oh baby, hubba hubby, ha 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 ha, hee hee ho ho, lot, 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 I love you, I love you, I really love you, no, I love you so much, I am so in love with you, I love being in love with you, do you love me, I want to love you forever, and spend one love for one lifetime with you, and thank you, I love you. I was just thinking about you, and just thinking of you, and how much I appreciate you. I love you, and want to marry you, and have a million of your babies. Praise Jesus, praise the Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the Almighty God. Jesus is our Savior, Jesus is our Redeemer. There is no other name by which we can be saved. I will worship the Lord all the day of my life. All we have is yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. All you look to your wonderful name will be saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the King. Sing to the Lord a new song. Let the nations tremble and fear His might name. You, O Lord, are good. There is no one good but God, Jesus Christ, Son of God, the one name under heaven, by which we may be saved. Amen. Again, I rejoice, and say Amen.